There's actually two verses I want to go to tonight. Well, maybe a little bit more of that. But I want to read a lengthy portion. My pastor and mentor, president of our Bible college for 3 years, his name was Dr. Tom Malone. And Dr. Malone was a man who was considered to be a tremendous pulpiteer. And I remember on many occasions he said, "Fellas, when you get in the pulpit to preach, read a lot of scripture, because if you get in trouble in one place, it gives you plenty of room to escape to another." That was funny. And I've thought about that many times through the years. But the Word of God has so much to offer to us. Amen? What tremendous value it is to us. I want to read scripture. Not all of it goes together, though I'm going to look at a portion of it. I hope that all of it kind of comes together as we look at it here tonight. John chapter number 15, and begin verse number 1 this evening. John chapter 15, verse number 1. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do," what? "Nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in ye, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you this evening for the blessed privilege of this, your word. We pray that you would open our hearts, our minds, our whole being to you. Spirit of God, take leadership tonight upon our soul. Lord, the best I know how, I submit myself to that leadership. Lord, I pray tonight, the best that these folks know how, I pray that they would this moment submit themselves to your leadership, your speaking, and that, oh God, that you might have your way and will. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. The title of my message tonight is very simple: The Commandment of Christ. In verse number 17, he says, "These things I command you, that ye love one another." Verse number 12, he says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another." God has commanded us in this business of love. Often Christians, especially immature ones, do not understand that relationship with the Father is more important than the rules of the Father. Now, we talk about commandments, but I make that statement for a very good reason. We do not understand often that a relationship with Him is more important than the rules. But when this concept is learned, there's often a discarding of the rules which is unrelational. Notice verse number 14, ye are my friends if ye what? Do whatsoever I command you. Interesting. I believe the key to all this is found in verse number 10. And read that with me. He says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall what? Abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. And so the Lord is teaching us here that keeping the commandments and abiding go hand in hand. It is relational. It is also rules. The relationship is the important part of that, as we find given to us so aptly in the first part of the chapter. He says, abide in me, in verse 4, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of it except it abide in me, no more can ye except ye abide in me. You and I tonight have a relationship with God, and that relationship is also enhanced or abided or in part with our keeping of His commandments. Keeping and abiding are two very important elements, as we find here in verse number 10. They're also, it seems like, the means to joy. Because in verse 13 he says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. So he's speaking of these things. And so, with there's love and there's that abiding in Christ, is there not joy of the Lord? So we find these things all going hand in hand. I ask you the question tonight, though, what are the commands that he's referring to? For when we go back to the Old Testament commands, we find that those commands basically separate us from God. Those commands teach us that we are sinners. Those commands reveal to us that we are not in connection with God. We find that those commands are a schoolmaster to show us who we are. They're to show us the holiness of God and thus the unholiness of you and I. And as we are taught in condensed form of the first four commands, that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our soul, with all of our heart, with our entire being, because He is a holy, righteous, wonderful God. But in the same token, we find as we see His holiness, we see our unholiness. And we find that you and I, we cannot keep those commands. I wonder here tonight, how many have ever stolen anything? Would you raise your hand, please? You have stolen something. Okay? You've stolen something. Those of you who did not raise your hand, you're guilty of the command that says, thou shalt not tell fibs. Or lie, or bear false witness. Okay? How many have ever lied? Okay? Thank God you're telling the truth now. Okay? We find from the Word of God we've done that. According to the Word of God, if we look on a brother with hatred and we have this in our thought, boy, I'd just like to see you dead. God says that is the same as murder. Anybody guilty? Yeah. This same crowd that told the lies and stole things, you're also guilty of murder. This is called, Mindy, job security. I have sinners that are always here. But seriously, brethren, seriously, what we're looking at here is commands that we cannot do apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to see something tonight, because He is telling us here that if we keep His commandments, that we will abide in His love. What are His commandments? We find, if we go back to John chapter 13, and I will repeat that in just a few moments, we find that there's a new commandment. We find it listed here, and it's my commandment, as it's listed in verse number 12. And my commandment is that ye, what? Love one another. I believe what the Lord is doing here is teaching us that He wants you and I to highlight this commandment, and that is to love one another. Again, when the Lord Jesus Christ was asked, what is the great command? He says, to love the Lord thy God. And then He said, the second is like unto it, and is what? Love our neighbor as ourselves. Isn't that interesting? Here the Lord, He says, I'm going to give you a command. And this is what I want you to love one another. I want you to love one another. If there is something that is going to change the world, it is when you and I, as God's people, begin to love one another. I want us to notice tonight that that love one to another is, as I look at in verse number 12, an imitating love. Notice what he says here. He says that ye love one another how? As I have loved you. Think about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about this in this light. The Lord Jesus Christ loves us with humility. As we described this morning, our Savior came out of the portals of heaven to this world to be born of a virgin in a manger that He might be made like unto us. Why? Because He loved us. That's the kind of love. It is that kind of love that would descend from the heights above into the hearts of you and I. The God who could fling the worlds into space and all the stars in the universe. The God who can make all that we see round about us is the God that also cares about we. What is man that thou art mindful of him, the Bible says? It's because God has tremendous love for you and I. It's a love of humility. It's not a love of feeling sorry. It's a love that says, hey, I want to be where you are at. Wherever that be. It's a love that is with acceptance. I love the phrase in the Bible says that I'm accepted in the Beloved. God accepts me. Not critical of the person, but accepting of the person. One of the greatest blessings I ever had is a man visited our church a number of years ago. I went to his home afterwards, and quite frankly, this man comes out of a very unsavory past. If some of you knew what his background is, you might be a little bit scared to walk up to him. But as he came into our church and folks came to him, he didn't look like the most of us look. He didn't act the way most of us act. He wasn't dressed the way most of us dressed. But folks gave him a welcome and accepted him the way he was. It spoke to his heart. It spoke to him. I don't know if he remembered any of the sermon. I don't know if he remembered any of the songs. I don't remember if he had anything else, but that spoke to his heart. Folks at Open Door Baptist Church accepted him for who he was. So often we get critical one of another. You know, we have to make judgments, do we not? I mean, we have to make judgments, but they ought to be on biblical criteria. We make most of our judgments about people based upon our own backgrounds. We look at different folks and they say, boy, they're weird. You do not know this perhaps, but those same people look at you and say, boy, you're weird. To somebody, you're weird. It's just a fact. But we have those kinds of things, maybe from family background, maybe from our national background, maybe it's just because we are who we are. But we have those kinds of things. But our judgments that we make one of another need to be made strictly upon biblical criteria. Amen? And that's where it ought to stand. And we ought to accept people for who they are. We don't always know their motives for things. We don't always know why they do what they do. We can judge what they do based upon the Word of God, not based upon whether we like it or not. Quite frankly, there's a lot of things that some of you folks do that I think, why are they doing that? That seems like a mighty strange thing to be doing. But quite frankly, my love to you ought to be one of acceptance and keeping my big mouth shut. And letting folks have that love from me. There's a difference. Imitating love is seeking to build the person. That's the objective. Not to tear them down. as I have loved you. Notice verse number 13. He goes on and says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. When I think of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and I are to love as He loved, then it's going to be a love that is sacrificial. It means that you're not going to get your way. It means that you're going to give up what you want to do for the other one. You are being submissive, if you please. By the way, did you know that it's not about you? It's not about me. Did you realize that? Little children, they think it's all about them. And by the way, moms and dads, you would be very wise to help train your children away from that. They don't need your help. Forgive me on this point. It's one of my pet peeves. But too often, we look at our children, they do something that's cute. It's naughty, it's wicked, it's wrong. But it's so cute. Look what they did. Everybody's looking. And the little child thinks, I'm cute doing this wicked, dastardly thing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. You and I tonight, we need to be a people who are what? Sacrificing our will unto His, unto those whom we love. It's not about us, it's about them. You know, if we ever got into an argument, it might be good for a change if the argument was not about, hey, I want to do this, and the other said, no, I want to do this. And we are arguing, and I'm saying, hey, I want to do what you want to do. And they're saying, no, I want to do what you want to do. Wouldn't that be a new kind of Christian argument? But would that not be that which was more godly? Amen? And so often we're in the wrong camp on that one. A sacrificial love. But notice with me in verse number 16. For in this verse he talks about bringing forth much fruit. In John chapter 13, verse number 34, he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Listen to these next words. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. If there's something that is going to bring people to Christ, may I say it's twofold. Number one, they know who the Lord Jesus Christ is, and they see a people who follow Him that love one another. Because that is Christ working in you. Oh, how it's needed in our hearts and our lives, a genuine love one to another. Sunday school teachers, we didn't talk about this a great deal. I was saving it just a little bit for now. Master Club workers, whoever you are, we didn't talk about this a great deal. I'm saving it for right now. Junior church workers, bus workers, church in general. You want to win some boys and girls to the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to teach them some very valuable lessons. The first thing you have to do is love them. These little boys and girls, they need to know the love of God as it is demonstrated through you. They have to be taught that that which you have is nothing, however, in comparison to our Savior's love for them. If a little child recognizes that you care so deeply for them, and then you tell them, it is very little in comparison to Jesus, what are they learning? What are they learning? Wow. Here's the command. That we what? Love one another. And with that love, we find we become fruitful in the lives of other individuals. God has given this as a command because in the natural man, love is reserved for ourselves. We, even as Christians in the flesh, love is reserved for self. The love of God and the love of you and I that's real and after God's love is not for the benefit of self. It is for the benefit of the loved object or the loved one. Let me ask you a question. I know this high-powered speaker. He awes crowds all over the world. We're going to bring him to our church. He stands in the pulpit and he gives his speech. And he wows you with these talk. But you sense something. You sense that it's all about him. And it's not about his love for you. Do you accept it? Does it do that which it needs to do? No. We go out into some of the back country. We find an old grandpa. He can't speak too well. He's got 43 grandkids. They hang on him. We bring him into church and he talks and tells you about Jesus. And you know from that old grandpa, talks with some broken English, but you know he loves you. You're going to listen. We've had in our church a number of different speakers. And as they've come and gone, some have touched your hearts. We had a man that was almost 80 years of old when he went to be with the Lord. I must say he was my very good friend, Al Wells. Why did you folks sit here and listen to him go on for an hour to an hour and a half in meetings? Because you knew that out of that heart he was preaching with love. He cared about the people who was there. I would talk often with him throughout the weeks and the months that he was not here. You may not have known this. That old man didn't forget your names. He'd say, "How's Marianne doing?" I'd say, "She's as ornery as ever. Given cute stress tests week after week." "You've gotten so mild, he's got to go to the hospital to get him done now." No, I'm just teasing. But he asks about you. He'd say, "How's so-and-so doing?" He'd remember that so-and-so walked down an aisle and gave their heart to the Lord Jesus. And he was personable. You loved him. He was a man who could speak, by the way, in large churches and did on a few occasions. When I first asked him, I figured he'd tell me no because I thought he was one of these big-time evangelists that only went to churches that held 4,000 people. I found out later that was simply not the case. It didn't matter. There were nights that we might have only 15, 20 people here. He preached as hard as if there was 100. We're trying to say, we listen to people who love us. and it's that which speaks. If you want to be effective in your Sunday school class, in your master club, if you want to be effective as a worker one-on-one, love that child, love that person with the love of Christ, as I have loved you. It's a sacrificial love. It's a love that says, hey, you're first. I'm not in this equation. I'm concerned about you. It's that which is accepting of the person. Oh, they may have done some things wrong, but we still accept them as a person. And we love them. Aren't you glad that God loves you in spite of who you are? Let me ask you a question. How many have sinned today? Say, preacher, I know I've done this wrong today. And God still loves you. In spite of the fact that we profess Him and we want to live holy and we don't. And yet God loves us. Amen. And wants that wonderful fellowship with us. There's an old song that talks about love makes the world go round. I don't know if that was a Christian song or a pop song. Do you know, Doc? I don't remember. Pretty good song, though. Or the lyrics or whatever. The thought. Because that's the need of the hour. Amen? And for the people in this church who've learned how to love like that, you are tremendous teachers to the rest of us. Keep on doing it. And learn that every individual that you look around and see tonight, Jesus Christ loved them. Is somebody around you going to do something kind of stupid that you could be critical about? Yeah. Well, I just don't like the way he dresses. As long as it meets a biblical standard. Hey, Jesus walked around in robes. Amen. I think they were. That's what it's called in the Bible. Well, they do some weird things. Well, they made a decision this week. They did this, they got that, they did the other thing. So, did they ask your advice? We want to give it too often, do we not? And not based upon biblical principles, but our own backgrounds, our own thoughts. And we alienate ourselves. We just need to accept people for who they are. Whether it be little children, or childlike, whether it be old or infirm, doesn't matter. Love one another. Father, tonight, work on our hearts in these matters. Lord, as a pastor of this church, help me to love these people as you love them. Lord, too often it's about me. Forgive me. Lord, too often our lives are based upon our own selfish intents. We get upset at this, we get upset at that, because our focus is on us. Lord, you've taught us that we're to love as you loved. And Lord, we find that when we practice that command, we have the wonderful privilege of abiding in you. As you abode in the Father because you loved us. Oh God, tonight, help us to see that great, wonderful truth. Bless in our hearts. Lord, if there be things in our lives that are hurtful to others, there be those thoughts, those things that we need to seek Your forgiveness, maybe even the forgiveness of others. Oh God, reveal that right now. May we walk from this place with a true and a holy and a righteous love. May You be glorified through it. May the world see it. May they clamor to Christ as a result of it. Lord Jesus, do that work in our midst. I pray in His name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand where you're at. Minda, if you just start.